This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Romania, Bucharest, to Antonio Colobasanu for the Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site, to comment on the mystery of Zaporizhia, because within these last hours we learn the inspectors at the United Nations, the IAEA, are due to look over Zaporizhia when and if they reach it via the Ukrainian territory. I welcome Antonia to comment not only on these fog of war events, but also how it is in Romania anticipating or preparing for the worst case scenario of Zaporizhia failing in some fashion, similar to Fukushima in Japan or similar to Chernobyl in Ukraine. Both are imaginable, but both are frightening. Antonia, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. First of all, what has been the preparation in Romania for in the event of failure of Zaporizhia in some fashion? Good day to you.
Well, in Romania, we kind of prepare for this with iodine pills. So there is a plan to handle this with by giving the younger population iodine pills and obviously telling the others to try to stay in shelter. And we also donated some of these pills to the Republic of Moldova next door, which is more likely or very likely to be hit in the very first round by a disaster if an accident happens because of the climate and because of the region where it is. So, yeah, we are pretty much talking about it. And a part of the planning there is, as you well pointed out, there is an increased anxiety about it because obviously being in the neighborhood and recalling Chernobyl and how that damaged the European, population back then is, you know, making us all worry about what could happen if an accident at the nuclear plant takes place. Although the experts are telling us that it's probably going to be like a Fukushima kind of accident, if anything, because of the way that the technology has evolved and the fact that the reactors are way more secured than they were back in the 1980s and so on. So I would say that the planning is just, be prepared for everything, but try not to be dramatic about whatever is happening. So that's probably the most important thing that we are hearing these days.
What do we have from the site itself? We have Ukrainian diplomats in Vienna at the IAEA passing around photographs at the Zaporizhia station within these last hours that showed, according to Bloomberg, a Russian armored personnel carrier near critical nuclear infrastructure. This is the quote from the Ukrainian representatives in Vienna. In total, more than 40 units of military equipment are currently stationed on the site. Antonio, I know you were a younger person during Chernobyl, but what can you recall of you and your parents and how you reacted to the threat of the possibility of radioactive wind blowing over Bucharest? What do you remember, Antonia?
Well, I personally don't remember much or don't remember anything at all because I was too young at the time. I was really a kid. But my parents told me that at the time, Romania was kind of spared by the radioactive cloud because of the way that the wind blew. So we were less affected, although we were affected. Many of the children were told to basically be kept inside. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of technology, and the media wasn't free at all at that time. So we kind of found out later, and the hype about an accident was not similar to what we are having now, even for a prospect of an accident, which means that a lot of the Romanian population didn't even know that an accident occurred. which kind of had them exposed to whatever radiation got to Romania at the time, because all the other population, except for the children, were basically asked to just go on working. This was, you know, at the height of the Ceausescu time when we were talking about Chernobyl. Authoritarian regime and everything else. So you had to work for the country, and everything else was less important. However, the other countries, and that I know from, you know, reports and also from what my parents told me, like other countries like Hungary, even Czechoslovakia and Poland, were more affected by the radioactive cloud just because the wind happened to blow west and northwest and less southwest. And basically, because we had the Carpathians also blocking the winds up north, in Bucharest, we were spared of that much damage.
The war in Ukraine is fog of war as well, but we do know that the general understanding is that there's either a stalemate or a slowdown on both sides has not led to a lessening of the violence. We have reports from Ukraine this morning that a train was hit by Russian missiles. We also have reports of the Russians massing combat aircraft, including rotary-winged aircraft, along Ukraine's borders. So there is nothing promising that the fighting is going to lift or be resolved anytime soon. And Zaporizhia remains in the zone of conflict. It is not a good thing that the most vulnerable part of any nuclear plant, we've learned since Fukushima, is if the power fails, because that keeps the water circulating in the containment vessel and keeps the fuel rods from overcooking and turning into Fukushima. So all of this we can't report accurately. So I want to stay with Romania experiencing this period of time where the war is not obviously active, but it is always a threat. Antonio, the last time we talked about the way Romania is dealing with the war, you're on the front line. And the story was of the grain and other resources flowing through Bucharest and on its way to the sea to be transported out of the Black Sea region. In other words, using Romania as an interrogator to solve the food problem in North Africa and throughout the world. Is that continuing? Are the shipments by rail and truck still coming through Romania?
Yes, that is continuing. And obviously, we are still serving that role. That's correct. While the war is going on, as you well pointed out, and it doesn't seem like we are going to take a break anytime soon, let alone a ceasefire. There are shipments being sent from Odessa too, so at least that is good news. However, they are not, you know, that often, because obviously the operations that have to be put together to get the grains out of a war zone are complex, right? So it takes time. But yes, Romania is still serving that role.
And checking, because there's an Italian election upcoming where you know Ukraine is part of the debate, there are questions raised throughout Europe about how long this can go on and what else is possible besides what we now see is going to be a rationing or a severe shortfall of energy and recession. Is there in Romania a debate underway about continuing support for the fighting, of finding another way? Has that What you'd have to say, has the argument started in Bucharest the way it started in Berlin and Rome?
Well, obviously, in Bucharest, we feel still to be less pressured by the energy crisis just because we are producing our own energy. However, at the EU level, I saw news that the energy ministers are going to probably meet soon and discuss how they can cut or basically keep at a level, a specific level, the price of energy, the price of electricity in particular, because the EU is now facing not only high prices in electricity, but also a record price in the gas price after Russia decided to tell Germany that it's putting the Nord Stream 1 pipeline under maintenance
right.
until the end of the month. So that's basically while Romania and other countries are wondering how we can cope with a winter that has Russia cut down gas supplies if it decides to go that route. Plus, only deciding to cut down for a few days is cutting into our budgets. And obviously, with the high price of energy, we will not be able to cope with high inflation and everything else if it continues to be like this. So, there is a lot of debate around it, particularly because Romania is an energy producer, and it's not only for Romania that it produces energy, but also for European Union countries.
Antonia Colobașanu for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site in Bucharest, Romania. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.